Mojo 5-0.
And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
America Rock Radio.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. The world don't know anything about what we feel on a regular basis. But I thank God for old time Pentecost. I thank God for what I see in this camp. Hallelujah. A bunch of young people that are excited about God and living for God. And I thank God for the holiness that I see in this place. Hallelujah. I know it is a result of tremendous men of God that are acquainted with this camp. Some of my happiest days of my life was out here in California preaching revivals, and thought I might end up out here on the West Coast. I ended up out on the East Coast. But it's always a tremendous honor to be invited back, and I don't take this lightly. It's totally an honor on my part to be a little part of this camp. Hallelujah. Didn't you enjoy the Elder Martin's message today? Hallelujah. I want to tell you, his message has not changed. And he is a part of the message. Back in 1972, I think, I had just graduated from high school and was endeavoring to try to preach. Had preached a few revivals and was a camper in Texas. And we got ready to hear the evangelist that year. And I'm going to tell you, he was different from anything I'd ever heard in my life. And he preached about tongue-talking time in Texas. Hallelujah. That's what he preached about every day. Tongue-talking time in Texas. He got me so on fire. I started out preaching some revivals, and I got called on the carpet at this tongue-talking time in Texas, at least by one guy. I just did not make him comfortable. But I'm still trying to talk in tongues. Talked in tongues today. Hallelujah. That's what keeps us alive. Hallelujah. Oh, I'd like to just see outpouring of the Holy Ghost from the front to the back, that we just get lost in this. That's what happened all those years ago. I can remember one night I just felt like I was just about to fly away in the middle of that youth camp. And Elder Martin has meant so much to me. I agree with Brother Kendrick, and I've often said Brother Martin is one of the greatest men in the world. And I appreciate him. And I feel so honored to be able to try to share this pulpit with him at this camp. But we're looking to the Lord tonight. I want the Lord to have his way. What a beautiful choir tonight, singing, all this talent. Hallelujah. I'm an old has-been when it comes to the music, the singing, and the playing. These guys are putting pressure on me to try to sing tonight. And so you can be seated and y'all pray for me tonight. God bless you. Do we have a bass player? I need all the help I can get. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for a merciful God? Hallelujah. He's in our corner tonight. A lot of times we have the wrong pictures of God hanging on the wall. But if anybody's lost and go to hell, they're not going to go to hell because Jesus didn't love them and believe in them and reach for them. But I know the worst times of my life when I felt like I was such a disappointment to myself and my God. Hallelujah. God has always been there immediately saying, get up. Hallelujah. He don't just see what we are, but he sees what we can be.
A loser without direction, drifted aimlessly on the backside of a place called nowhere, forgotten by humanity. When they spoke of great potential, they did not refer to me. Or anyone could plainly see what I was, I'd always be. But he saw not what I was, he saw what I could be. When he reached his hand to where I was, he took a chance on me. Possibility. Still he saw not what I was, he saw what I could be. So now you know the reason I lift my hands so willingly. If he hadn't found me when he did, I'd be lost as lost could be. And even though I'm still far from perfect, I'm further yet, you see. From the life I lived just yesterday, before the Lord found me. But he saw not what I was, he saw what I could be. When he reached his hand to where I was, he took a chance on me. All he had to look for, just a possibility. Still he saw not what I was, he saw what I could be. A loser without direction, I drifted aimlessly on the backside of a place called nowhere, forgotten by humanity. When they spoke of great potential, they did not refer to me, or anyone could plainly see what I was, I'd always be. But he saw not what I was, he saw what I could be. When he reached his hand to where I was, he took a chance on me. till he saw not what I was, he saw what I could be. Well, all we had to hope for, just a possibility. Still he saw not what I was, he saw what I could be.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand today for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Second Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. Second Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all of his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel passed by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord doth not help thee, how or whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" And the king said unto her, "What ailest thee?" And she answered, "This woman hath said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son and did eat him, and I said unto her on the next day, "Give thy son that we may eat him also." And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Hallelujah. This is one of the most unbelievable texts of the Bible. It shows a famine that had besieged Samaria. The enemy forces had come in and had isolated them from all outside help. They were eating unspeakable things. The king realized that things had spun out of control to the place that there was no help as far as human hands could offer. It was a time for nothing less than a miracle, a divine intervention. I want to tell you, there's some things that only the Holy Ghost can do. Hallelujah. But thank God for a Holy Ghost church. Thank God that the Holy Ghost is still available. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Speak to us, talk to us tonight. We are believing you, God, to do something great and wonderful in the lives of people in this auditorium tonight. We thank you for it. We love you for it. In Jesus' lovely name. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can be seated. A familiar form of warfare in Old Testament times was that of the siege. The enemy force would come in and they would surround the city. They would cut off the supply line, the water supply, the food supply, cut off all outside communication with the outside world and help that might come from the outside. And it would not be long and the city that had once offered security and provision would become a prison house of starvation and hunger. This was what happened to the city of Samaria when Ben-Hadad and the Syrian army came and besieged the city. Got a hold of the supply line, isolated them from all outside help. And the city that at one time offered security and provision became a terrible place of starvation and hunger. Prices soared until a donkey's head brought 40 pieces of silver in the local market. They were eating unspeakable things, and the king of Samaria began to walk along the wall looking at the deplorable condition, the starvation, the hunger, the people that were ready to die. There was a woman that cried out and said, "Help my lord, O king." And the king looked at her and just plainly told her, "If God doth not help thee, when shall I help thee?" Hallelujah. Even though he was the king, and at other times probably he had proudly sat upon his throne and felt like he was almost the ruler of the universe. But things got so bad and so depleted that even in the king's house there was not provision. And he was quick to tell this woman, "Unless God helps us, we're not going to get out of the situation that we are in." There are times in every individual's life when we wake up and we realize that we need something more than what the world can satisfy us with and what the world can provide for us. There's times that human acquaintance and family and friends and mothers and dads don't have the answer to the deep needs that's on the inside of our life. Hallelujah. God did not just create us as temporal human beings that live for a little while and die and then life is over with. But he breathed the breath of life into us and we became a living soul. And there is an eternal part of us. One writer says he has put eternity in our heart. He has made us to where even though that we are children of the dust, we're also children of eternity. And there are times that the temporal things of this life cannot satisfy the needs of our life. There are times that we find ourselves in places of depletion where it takes nothing less than a miracle to get us out of the situation that we're in. I want to tell you, it's times like that God sets the stage for a great Holy Ghost intervention. Hallelujah. I'm glad that there's times in our life when all outside support is cut out from under us. And we realize that if we're going to survive, it's going to take nothing but the touch of God Almighty in our life. The king looked at this woman and said, "If God doth not help thee, how in the world do you think I'm going to be able to help you?" Heaven is glad that God's still on the throne tonight. Hallelujah. He is a supplier of our needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. In the book of Philippians, the Bible says he shall supply all our need. Hallelujah. And that's singular, not plural. He shall supply all of our need according to his riches in glory. I don't know if it exactly means what I'm going to say that I feel like it means, but I do believe that this is true. Hallelujah. It's not needs, it's need. There's only one real need that we all need. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, if you get the Holy Ghost need satisfied, if you get the God need satisfied, you can suffer the loss of everything else in life and everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Thank God for the provision that God makes for his people. Thank God for what's available in this youth camp and camp meeting. Hallelujah. Nobody has to leave empty. Nobody has to leave disappointed. Nobody has to leave, hallelujah, with lacking things in your life. There's a God that supplies our need according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Well, in such a helpless, hopeless situation, what a terrible picture of a city in siege. Hallelujah. Mothers were actually eating their children. Hallelujah. This woman says, I'll tell you what the problem is. Me and this lady agreed among ourselves to boil our children and eat them. I boiled my child and ate him yesterday. I went over to her house today to eat, and she has hid her child from me. Hallelujah. In such a terrible, terrible situation, thank God there was a man of God with a message from God. How many is thankful for your pastor, young people? Hallelujah. How many is thankful for the man of God in your life? Hallelujah. In a hopeless, helpless situation, the prophet of the Lord stood forth and began to prophesy and said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley shall be sold for a shekel. In other words, by this time tomorrow, within 24 hours, the situation's going to drastically change. We're going to go from famine to feasting. We're going to go from deadness and lifelessness to revival. Hallelujah. There's going to be bread in the city. Everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. The Bible says there was a Lord upon whose hand the king leaned. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes the king is not so sufficient after all. He may look like he has all the answers, but here was a man upon whose hand the king leaned. And this man stepped forward and said, how can this thing be? How can this thing happen? Even if God would open up the windows of heaven, how can this take place? Hallelujah. You know, some people, when they hear the word of faith, they want to take their pencil out and they want to get their tablet out and they want to get their calculator out and they want to try to figure out exactly how God's going to do it and how the situation is going to change and how we're going to go from famine to feasting. And hallelujah. And here this man, and he could not figure out how in the world the situation was going to change. But the prophet of the Lord said, let me tell you something, sir. It's going to happen. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it, it's going to happen. How many is thankful for the limited effect of unbelief? Hallelujah. One writer said, what if there was some that did not believe? Does that make the word of God of none effect? God forbid. Hallelujah. That's why I can tell you today, it doesn't matter if anybody else believes. If you want it, you can have it. Hallelujah. If the person next to you don't care what happens in this youth camp and they leave empty, you can leave with your baskets full. You can leave with a renewing of the Holy Ghost. You can leave with the power of God operating in your life. Hallelujah. How can this thing be? And he said, well, I'll tell you what is going to happen. And you're going to see it with your eyes, but you're not going to taste of it. Hallelujah. You're going to be on the grandstands watching it happen. And it's going to happen whether you believe it or not. But you're not going to taste of it. Hallelujah. I don't want to be a spectator in this camp meeting this week. I was soaking up the preaching today. I want to tell you what I want. I want a fresh touch of God's presence in my life. Hallelujah. I don't want to be in the grandstands. I don't want to be a spectator. Hallelujah. I want to be a participator. We got too many people that are satisfied to watch what everybody else is doing and watch everything else that is going on, but they never taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. We got spectators. We've got, hallelujah, agitators. We got people that just want to sit around and watch it. We got too many people that's a part of the tater family. We need some participators. What kind of camp meeting would we have this year if 100% from the front seat to the back seat, every one of us would open up our hearts and get the gauge open and get the valves open and say, hey, I don't want just a measure. I want everything that heaven can pour out on me. I want something to revolutionize me. Hallelujah. How can this thing be? Well, I'll tell you how it can be. God chose four of the most pitiful people to bring great deliverance to Samaria. It was four lepers that sat outside the gates of the city. They had sat there. They were waiting to die. They were eaten up with leprosy. No doubt they had wives and children inside the city. They saw the plight of the city. And they began to talk about the horrible place they were in. And finally one of them raised the question, why sit we here until we die? Hallelujah. There are times in our life that life and Satan or God or sometimes it's God puts us in a place that if we're a mind to just sit where we are and we don't have any fight in us and there's nothing that reaches out for more and we lose all desire and hunger for God. I'm going to tell you something. God will let you sit there and die. Hallelujah. The devil will see to it that you sit there and die. He'll squeeze you. Hallelujah, until there's not an ounce of God left in you, an ounce of victory left in you, an ounce of faith in you. There comes a time that a church, young people, hallelujah, has got to say, hey, I'm not going to sit here. I may not feel like worshiping God, but I'm going to worship God anyway. I'm going to start priming the well. I'm going to do something on my own to try to get God's attention and have Holy Ghost revival in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you, this army was relentless. This army was not even going to have to fire a shot. But they got a hold of the jugular vein in that city. They had cut off the supply line and there was no mercy in their heart. And there's a spirit of hell in our day and time that wants us to sit back and be complacent and indifferent and with a no care attitude and live carelessly and just drift through a camp meeting without God touching us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. God, shake us this week in this camp meeting. Let there be a divine interruption. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've never got anything from God until I got desperate, until I got hungry, until situations got impossible. And I want to tell you something, especially young people. Don't let the devil minimize you. Don't let the devil minimize you because you don't feel like you have the talents of some people and the abilities of some people. God's just looking for somebody to get in his hands. Four lepers got in God's hands and started marching toward the enemy camp. Get your pencil and paper out. There's no way to figure out how that victory's going to come out of this. But God begins to magnify the feeble steps of four lepers. It becomes so noisy when it reaches the ears of the enemy. It sounds like the noise of a host of soldiers. It sounds like chariots. It sounds like the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians. The imagination of these Syrians just run away with them. Till they were so gripped with fear that they jumped up in the thickness of the dark night and fled for their lives. And these four lepers, when they come on the scene of what they think is going to be the worst battle of their life, there's no enemy there to fight. Now, I've seen that so many times in my life. The very thing that I thought was going to destroy me was the very thing that made me. Hallelujah. I look back like David looked back and had to say this. It was good for me to have been in trouble. Hallelujah. What God done was just set the stage for a miracle. Set the stage for an impossible divine intervention. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen this week. I wonder whose life is going to be forever changed this week because somebody gets hungry, somebody gets desperate, somebody just grabs hold of whatever they got to grab hold of. Hallelujah. And says, hey, I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to give whatever I have to God. These four lepers get to the scene of the terrible battle they think they're going to be in. And they get to looking around and there's nobody on the campsite. Hallelujah. They go up to the tables and they're loaded with food and it's still hot. Hallelujah. Somebody left here in a hurry. They left their plates, hallelujah, full and untouched. Hallelujah. I can't imagine this. One leper went in one direction, one went in another direction. One goes and looks in the tents and he comes running back and said, I can't believe this. They must have left in a quick hurry. Hallelujah. This guy left his billfold on the nightstand. He didn't have time to get his money. The other guy came and said, hey, you ain't gonna believe this. Hallelujah. Horses are there just tied to the hitching posts and the saddles are still on them. They got in such a hurry to leave. They didn't have time to jump on the horse. You gotta be in a hurry when you don't have time to jump on your horse. The devil, I want to tell you, God knows how to handle the devil. God knows how to handle the spirits that's plaguing you in your life. Somebody here tonight can shake the devil off your back. Somebody here tonight can get victory against the things that have taunted you and hallelujah, tried to, hallelujah, keep you starved and shut down and shut out. Hallelujah. Well, man, they get to eating and they're just stuffing their tote bags full of gold and silver and they're giggling like four little girls until finally one of them says, hey, we do not well. This is the time of good tidings. This is an hour we need to be telling those folks in Samaria that still live behind the walls of intimidation that God's already given us the victory. There's a lot of people sitting here tonight behind walls of intimidation that God has already given you the victory. Hallelujah. Some of the times what we're going through is more our imagination anymore than anything else because God's already taken care of it. He's just looking for somebody to get up and claim the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, friend, they went and they gave the message to the Samaritans. God's already taken care of it. Hallelujah. Victory's here. There's bread in the camp. Hallelujah. And, friend, there was bread there. And the old fellow that said, it's not going to happen, there was so excitement in what took place that they trampled him to death in the gate of the city. But God gave great victory. They went from famine to revival. Oh, 4 nights is what we've got. 4 days is what we've got left. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God's wanting to do something. God's wanting to do something great in this camp meeting. But the devil uses the same tactics tonight that he's used in the past. He wants to shut us down. He wants to isolate us. He wants to get us off where we think we're by ourselves. I guess almost every backslider gets to where they think that nobody cares anything about them and God doesn't care anything about them and they're all along in the battle they're in and nobody's ever faced the problems I faced because the devil is the great isolator. He comes and he sets siege on our life and he cuts off the supply line. He cuts off the water supply and the food supply. The manna quits falling from heaven and we quit getting that we need in our life and he starts making us believe there's nothing to be found anywhere. Where the world is just a vast place of famine. Hallelujah. But can I tell you tonight, God's got a heaven bulging with good things. He's got more revivals than we have churches. He's got more miracles than we have needs. He's got more healings than we have diseases. He's got more answers than we have questions. There's enough of the power of God in this place to go around. Nobody has to be isolated. Nobody has to be cut off. Nobody has to leave this building tonight empty. You can get what you need from God tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you, God designed for this church to be a victorious church. Upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is designed to be a lifesaver. The church is designed to be a lighthouse in a dark world. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be hope for the hopeless.
Hallelujah. We've got a powerful gospel that can still save those that are lost without God. Hallelujah. I thank God for an old-fashioned apostolic Pentecostal Jesus name, one God, holiness church. I'm glad there's still a bunch of people that believes, hallelujah, that what we are is right. We've not lost our identity. We're proud of who we are and what God has given us. We're not looking somewhere else in another realm for the answer to life's questions. We're not trying to trim lime this message. You need to thank God, young people, for a pastor that's valiant for the truth, that's fighting, hallelujah, for this old-fashioned apostolic message.
I want to tell you what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to isolate us. The devil wants to water us down. Hallelujah. The church is designed to be a lighthouse. It's designed to be a life giver. But he wants to turn the lights off in our churches. He wants us to become weak and anemic and washed down, where there's no power, where there's no deliverance. Hallelujah. Where there's no victory. I want to tell you, the devil realizes when saints of God, when young people, when a church, hallelujah, as a whole, is getting what they need, the church is too hot for the devil to handle. And a Pentecostal conqueror is still more than a conqueror. And when you're getting what you need, you're too hot for the devil to handle. You know what a more than a conqueror is? That's a guy that can go through the worst battle of his life. And when he comes out on the other end, he is victorious. But he don't just barely make it. Hallelujah. He goes through the worst trial of his life. And when he comes out on the other side, he's got a surplus of power left over. Hallelujah. He's not depleted and lost everything and held on by the skin of his teeth, but he is more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. God's given us what we need to handle this world. It doesn't matter how dark the world gets, where iniquity shall abound. Hallelujah. The grace of the Lord shall so much more abound. Somebody said, I'm looking for a new experience. There's nothing wrong with the old experience. You just got to get full of it. You just got to get your attention on it all over again. You got to get focused on what the answer really is to life's problems. Hallelujah. What does the devil want to take out of our life? There's some things the devil wants to isolate us from. One thing he wants to isolate us from, hallelujah, is what Brother Martin preached about. Hallelujah. He wants to isolate us from a move of the Holy Ghost. He wants it to become more fashion and semblance and just a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Hallelujah. He wants us to get in just the mechanics of running and shouting and human emotionalism and the music and the drum beat and all of that. And thank God for all of that. Hallelujah. But the essence of what it's all about, hallelujah, we lose that. We quit tapping into that life-giving flow, that well of living water. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. Hallelujah. If there's any victory here tonight, it's because of him. If there's any power here tonight, it's because of him. It's in him that we live. If there's any life here tonight, it's Holy Ghost life. In him we have our being. If we're going to exist, if we're going to survive, it's got to be because of the power of the Holy Ghost. It's in him that we move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you, this thing's on the move. This thing is on the move. This camp is on the move. Hallelujah. We got the direction today from the elder. This camp is on the move. I've seen it in local churches. People get in trouble when God moves and they don't move. Hallelujah. You know, what God's in today, he may not be in tomorrow. There's different administrations and different moves of God's presence and this river of life that we're living in. I want to tell you, a river's got a lot of bends and turns and crooks in it.
Hello, you got to be on your toes. You got to be sensitive what the Holy Ghost is doing. You don't get a speedboat in a river and just push the throttle all the way to open and start flying down the river. You'll end up stuck up in some mud bank somewhere. Hallelujah, because rivers has got turns and they've got twists and twists. And you know, some people, some churches, they get in a rut of singing the same thing. The same, you know, it worked last week, so we're going to try it this week, and then we're going to try it next week, and then we're going to just keep on trying it until it's just not there anymore. Hallelujah. And some people, God moves and they fail to move. The church moves and they fail to move. That's the reason when revivals are going on, people need to have their ears in tune. And they need to sit up in their chair and they need to get their eyes open and realize, hey, God's moving. I don't want God to move and leave me behind. The children of Israel, when they passed through the wilderness, the key to their success was move when God moves. There was times that God didn't move. There was times that God just hovered over the tabernacle and the fire was there and everybody needed to be there. There were other times that all of a sudden they'd wake up and they would hear a noise and movement and hey, what's going on around here? I believe ever so often in the night, maybe some of those men would lift up the tent flap and look out toward the tabernacle to see if the fire was still burning and if the fire was still there. They realized that the pillar of fire moved in the night and they didn't move with God, that the jackals of the desert would consume their flesh and their bones would end up complimenting the desert sand. If I'm going to be alive, I got to be where God's at. If my clothes are not going to wear out, I got to be where God's at. If I'm going to be full of the manna that falls, I gotta be where the manna's at. Hallelujah, there's still water running out of the rock, but I gotta get to where the rock's at.
People pay a tremendous price when they miss the move of God in their life. These people were isolated. The Bible says they were paying 40 pieces of silver for a donkey's head. I am told you are what you eat. I have tried to pastor a few people. I think they was eating at that table. Stubborn as a Missouri mule. Hallelujah. The Bible says they was eating dove's dung. And I don't want to get crude tonight, but I want to tell you, dove's dung is not where the dove's at, it's where the dove's been. You can't survive on where God's been. That's what happens to denominations when they start hallelujah, congregating around some golden calf. And this is just as far as we're going to go. And this is what life is all about. Hallelujah. We can't do that. We got to move when God moves. Hallelujah. This thing doesn't revolve around personality and organization and all these. I'm going to tell you, it revolves around God. Jesus is still the main attraction. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They started practicing cannibalism. This is an unbelievable story of some of God's people and what they degraded to. Mothers boiling their children and eating them. I've seen churches devour one another. I've seen young people start devouring one another. You know, it looks like a bunch of young people in the kind of world that we're in, where Satan is so possessed the minds and the lives of our world. Their tattooed bodies, their scarred bodies, and hallelujah, all their piercings and all their weird haircuts and the spirit of hell that's vibrating in the lives of this generation. I want to tell you, they're against us, and there's a hatred that is boiling
and growing in our world today. Hallelujah. God only knows what we're going to face in the next few days and months and years as the apostolic church. It looks like everybody that's a part of this faith that's rallying around the name of Jesus and holiness, we ought to be supporting one another. We ought to be encouraging one another. We ought to be admonishing one another to good works. Hallelujah. Sometimes it seems like that's just the opposite. All of a sudden, some kind of disease starts operating among young people. Hallelujah. Texting all kinds of filthy junk on their cell phones and talking about the newest thing on the internet and trying to encourage each other in immorality and ungodliness. My God, it's time for young people to get to where God is, get to where the fire is, under the fire of the Holy Ghost. Can burn a bunch of that garbage out of your life. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Several years ago, I was preaching a revival meeting in Indianapolis, and I went to the zoo, and my wife and I, and I was standing in front of this huge outdoor holding area where there was a bunch of baboons. They're sitting all over these rocks, and the sun was shining down on them, and these little fellas was busy. They was all busy on the fella sitting next to them. Reaching and digging and looking under their armpits and picking stuff up. Hallelujah. Looking behind their ears and in their ears. And I felt like one of those old prophets in the Old Testament. God's trying to tell me something. Hallelujah. The longer I look, the more they look like some church folks. Hallelujah. Here they were. They were all flea bitten, eaten up, but all worried about the fleas on the next person. Hallelujah. All trying to clean up the next individual. Hallelujah. Kind of like the fella said, faults in others I can see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. You know what a sordid old-fashioned revival in this youth camp? If we'll forget peer pressure, we'll forget what anybody else is doing or has done. We'll quit worrying about everybody else and get lost in the Holy Ghost and let God touch us and renew us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The devil wants to isolate us from a true move of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something else that the devil's army wants to do when they try to surround our life and they start working on us. They want to isolate us from the Word of God. They want to isolate us from preaching. They want to isolate us from what's going on right here, right now. Hallelujah. When all of a sudden a light starts shining deep down inside of you, and all of a sudden it's not you and everybody else, it's you and God and the preacher, and God's talking to you, and the Word of God is working on you. Hallelujah. Oh, I want every person in this building to take this personal tonight. I got to hold on to God's Word if I'm going to survive. I can't be isolated from this book. Hallelujah. It is a book of life. It is a book that tells me where I've been, where I'm at, and where I am going. Hallelujah. The devil starts with the little questions in people's minds. That's what he started with Eve when he came to her. He didn't say God's a liar. He didn't say God hasn't told you the truth. He inserted a little question mark. Hath God said? We got some people's got a question mark for a brain. Sometimes the biggest problem is between our ears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes people start doubting their beliefs. Hallelujah. You ponder on that long enough, you'll start believing your doubts. Hallelujah. Doubting your beliefs and believing your doubts. I'd rather believe a few things for sure than a bunch of things for maybe. Hallelujah. The philosophers always wanted to raise a lot of questions and didn't have a lot of answers. But I want to tell you, this is the book of answers. Jesus spoke as one that had authority and not as the scribes. He had an answer to life's problems and life's questions. And I want to tell you, God's answer is still within the lids of this book. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for a church that's built on preaching, that's built on God's Word. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Young person, if you want to know where you're standing, look at the Word of God and let the Word of God be the final court of appeal in your life. If you want to look where you're headed, look at the Word of the Lord. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Hallelujah. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I've heard some preachers talking about reevaluating their beliefs. There's some things don't need to be reevaluated. It's still the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Well, I'd believe the Bible and I'd obey the Bible and I'd read the Bible more if I could understand it. It's not the parts you don't understand that bothers you. It's the parts you do understand that bothers you. Some of us having plenty of problems just obeying what we understand. Don't let the mysteries of what you can't figure out keep you from believing the Bible. Won't you start working on what you know you ought to do? When people start believing what they know they ought to do, they'll start understanding more things. The Bible says, by faith, we understand. Some people around the church say, I don't understand this, I don't understand that, preacher, I just don't understand this. I don't understand why we can do this, we can't do that. You don't understand because you don't believe. You start really believing what you know.
Holy Ghost Radio. We are Acts 2:38 Salvation Message compliant. Are you?
That the Acts 2:38 message is the basic message of Christianity. If you don't believe that, I want to be nice to you, but I want you to tell me why you don't believe it. We don't have to explain to you why we believe it. You've got to explain to us why you don't believe it, because that's the man with the key.
Holy Ghost Radio. Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?
And I'm not just trying to hype you up, but I want to tell you, this is one message that's not going down. It doesn't matter if it's pre-modern, modern, or post-modern. This message is hot, it's cutting edge, it's on the level, it's always going to be powerful. You can never outlive its power.
Visit our website at www.holyghostradio.com.
And if you want to be relevant, then preach Acts 2:38. Because that's the message that's relevant to every generation.
Hallelujah. The word of the Lord. I thank God for a sure word of prophecy. I like where Peter was talking about the transfiguration. He's talking about seeing Jesus and Moses and Elijah. That revelation on the mountain. Boy, that was phenomenal, wasn't it? To be there ought to change anybody's life forever. Don't you agree? But he tells about the transfiguration. And after he gets through talking about all that, he says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. We got something better than a dream. We've got something better than a vision. We've got something better than a transformation of an angel or a person or even Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. We got this right here. I want the word of the Lord to be the authority in my life. I don't want to isolate myself from what this book says. Hell, I don't want to just read it like it's some kind of buffet that you walk down and you pick what you want and you leave the rest. Hallelujah. There needs to be a revival of God's word. Hallelujah. One last thing today that the devil wants to bring a siege on in our life. He wants to isolate us. He wants to isolate us from the man of God in our life. I know this is simple preaching. I've come here this week to do what I can do best, and that's preach simple.
But I want to preach to people. I want to preach to you young people. You better realize the importance of the man of God in your life, the preacher that's in your life. Hallelujah. The preacher's under attack. The world don't understand, we that live in Canaan's land, how that things are different from they are in Egypt's land. We're not Egyptians, but we are Israelites. We are the people of God. Our thoughts about things, our value system is different. Hallelujah. We're not like the charismatics, the cruismatics that cruise around and they never really submit themselves to anybody, and they want to be entertained, and they want to see what a church has to offer them, and hallelujah, what will please the carnal feelings of their lives. We are apostolic people. Hallelujah. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the power of God and the presence of God. But we also believe in the man of God.
American Radio.